I'm grateful for everyone who's assembled themselves to hear, and hope that you have taken a little bit of time to prepare yourself for the message tonight. For we know my grandfather, that he has certainly prepared something for us, and I believe the Lord has been working upon his heart. And so I'd ask that you would offer a prayer for him and for yourself, that you would receive that which the Lord has prepared for us. And so I give you my grandfather, Evangelist Hubert Yates.
I learned a long time ago that there's a lot of things that a brother needs when he's filling the podium, and one certainly is prayer, that you need those prayers. Sometimes there's things that you're to bring out because of the direction of the Spirit, that you had a hope maybe that we could get by it, but we can't. This evening, those of you that's been coming, have you been listening as the brother's been speaking? And if you listen to the pastor, as we met Wednesday for the business meeting, I'm going to start with a scripture my brother started with last Sunday evening. And I'm going to go from there, because you heard the things that's been taught, that the Lord has been putting on my heart, and the brother's been bringing it forth and been endeavoring to teach, to prepare us for the things to come. You heard that this morning. You're going to hear things that our brother spoke on this morning. And that's why I'm going to start with the scripture he started with there in the 2 Corinthians in the 13th chapter. In the first verse, he says, "This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established." I'm here to state to you this evening that I'm one of the witnesses of the word that's been established as the brothers have been teaching. And I want you to pay close attention, not because it's me, but because it's the Lord. He's the one that has caused the scriptures to be written to edify us, so that we would recognize the way. He's the one that did that. He's the one that brought those things out. He's the one that saw to it that we had those things, that all scripture, it tells us over there in he used there the other day in the second chapter of Timothy, and the 13th verse there in the second Timothy, the third chapter and the 16th verse. In fact, I'm going to read it because it's very specific. And I want to bring out some thoughts there that the things that we're teaching, they're not of ourselves, but of the one who called us and told us to speak and to teach unto his sheep and unto his children. And that's what I'm going to bring out tonight. I want you to follow me in the scriptures so that you'll know I'm not teaching of myself, but the one who sent me. We're going to start there in the 16th verse. He says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God." If it's scripture, it's been given by the inspiration of God. If that scripture has been given by the inspiration of God, that means it's something that we better start paying attention to. If it's given by the inspiration of God, it's something that has to do with the welfare of our soul. It means we must listen And we can't go through and say, well, you know, I don't like this, and so we'll discard it. And we'll be like the world. You know, the world has changed the Bibles. The world has shifted every kind of thing around and one thing and another. But you know that the thing about that is, if Scripture, if it's given by the inspiration of God, who has the right to change it or to alter it? Do we think that God didn't know? Do we think we know more about it than our Lord does? If it's given by the inspiration of God, that means the old saying is that you can take it to the bank because it's so. That's what that means. That means you can trust it. That means you know that it's true. That's the important thing. And I want to go on here because he says it's given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's to teach us the way to eternal life. That's what that doctrine of Christ is. The doctrine of Christ is what teaches us the way to life, bar none. There's no other way nor name given under heaven whereby we can find the way to eternal life and be able to enter into the gate and hear him say, "Enter ye in, my faithful servant," without holding to the scriptures that is by the inspiration of God Almighty. That's where it comes from. And it's important that we understand that. And it is for profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for the instructions in righteousness. That's what it was given for. That's why Christ came, is to give us a way to eternal life. The thing that he taught us was instructions towards righteousness, so that we would have our feet on the rock and be able to withstand the wiles and everything of Satan, the enemy to our soul. That's what he came for. That's what he gave us. He caused those things to be written. The 17th verse, that man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And you know, the gospel of Christ has to do with good works. It has to do, they're of no value. You can read all of it you want and you can memorize it and be able to quote it any place. But if you don't apply it to your life, you're whistling in the dark. It has to be in your life. It has to be in your heart. It has to be in your mind. It has to be your first when you wake up in the morning to know that God had looked over you through the night, that you know where the blessings of life have come. They don't come from man. They come from the one that created the man. That's where they come from. And it's important that we realize that. It's important that that's where they came. He read there in Isaiah, the 5th chapter. He read the 20th verse when he says, don't call... I'm going to read it. He says, you don't call those things you know that are good, you don't call them evil. And those that are evil, you don't call them good. And you know, we have a habit of doing that. You know, the scriptures tells us for a long time that man was an enemy to God because we got mind of our own and we can figure things out. And sometimes we think we know more about it than he does. And every time we do, we get ourselves in trouble. Every time we do just exactly those things, we have a problem. And that problem is that we go our own way. And the wisdom of man has always been foolishness in the Lord. We have never been able to know what our Lord knows. We know what he taught us. We know what he teaches us. He knows what he's caused to be written that we call scripture to edify us. And we know that he has provided enough that if we follow those things, we can enter into his kingdom with him and his Father. But we don't know all things, and he didn't bring all things. He didn't teach us all things. But he taught us sufficient so that you and I would know how to live our life, how to apply, and what is good works and what is bad works. If we really want to know, that's what he taught us. I'm going to read there in the 20th verse. He says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. My goodness. You know, there's a lot of difference in tasting a little bit of honey. And there is, juice from a lemon. There's a difference. And he tells us to look out. He's warning us. He's pre-warning us that we would be able to sufficiently, by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of truth. What he says, and he'll teach you all things whatsoever I have commanded, Jesus said, that Holy Ghost. And he says, you know, you can receive it, but the world can't receive it because they haven't complied with the teachings of Jesus Christ. But those who are complying with those things and endeavoring to walk in that way, he says, you'll receive it, and he says, it'll remain with you forever. Because he knew we need it. You know, out of all the problems and series and things that we have in our life, you know, God knew our needs. And he has always provided a way. He's provided the avenue of prayer where we can go and talk to him. He has provided that you can call elders and be administered to for the sick. Everything that he's done, he has done to prove his love for us. Everything. To prove that he loves us and he has a desire that we would walk in the prescribed way that he's given us, that we can come and live with him and his Father. That's a desire of his heart. As I look at your faces, there's not one in this room that he doesn't desire, can't come and live with him. Because he loves us, because we're his children. We're his creation. And he breathed the breath of life in us. That's what we're doing here tonight. And so it's important that we realize that he has directed us, and he has brought these things out. And you know, I'm not going to take the time, but if you were to go over into 2 Nephi in the 8th chapter in the 90th verse, he tells you the same thing that we just read in Isaiah. If we go to Moroni, the 7th chapter in the 12th verse, he tells you the same. If we go to 2 Nephi in the 12th chapter, and the 19th verse, he tells you the same. He tells you that he has a way. He tells us that he has sent this gospel. That's by the inspiration of God, so you and I could know. And he has caused those to be written. I'm not going to turn to it, but my brother the other night, he read where Peter said that this prophecy don't come by the will of a man. He says it comes when holy men are moved upon by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's when the prophecy comes that is true and will remain true. Like he says in the 7th chapter of the 3rd book of Nephi, that the law of Moses is done away. He fulfilled that law of Moses, but the law of the prophets will remain until they're fulfilled. If it's given by the power of the one that has that power to do so, that prophecy will be fulfilled. Like the scripture says, they will not go out and come back void, but they will suit his pleasure. We're living in the period of time that we're seeing the fulfillment of that prophecies that have been given of the latter days, and we're looking at it all over the world, and we're seeing, oh my goodness, we're seeing so much. We're either dried up or we're being flooded away, or we've got earthquakes, we got things going. We're looking at the fulfillment of the prophecy that he tells us that we're going to live through in the latter days. And it's the beginning. Which means that there's a note that says, okay, this is the beginning, But now we better learn the rest of the song and how to apply those good works to our lives and what it is. And I want to verify something to you right now, that he has a lot of laws, and that's true. He has a lot of do's and he has a lot of don'ts. And you know, if we're doing the don'ts, when you and I have read that it's a don't, and we do it, we're in open rebellion against God. There's no other way. We can say, well, you know, we can be like the Book of Mormon and say, well, that's just a little thing. You know, later on, he'll just whip us with a few stripes and everything will be fine. And boy, the Book of Mormon there in the 12th chapter of the second book of Nephi, he goes on and tells you the reality of that and what happens. And so it's important that as we study the scriptures and he tells us that you're not to do this or you're not to do that, that we have learned to obey that. You know, a lot of times you think, well, that seems like a little old thing. But you know, every time if you obey it, sooner or later you'll find out why. You know, he tells us about, we got policemen in here. He tells us about drinking and driving drunk and everything, you know, and one thing and another. And you say, well, what problem? You know, that's a guy's own privilege. Or that's a girl's own privilege. Yeah, it is. Is it the privilege when they go through a stoplight and kill somebody? Everything, you know, I can drive down the street and I don't have to keep looking over my back to see if a policeman's there because I'm not driving drunk. I'm not high on dope. No. I'm not going to run over a sidewalk and kill a little child on a tricycle. Every time he has given us a law, he's given us something that's to help us. You know, that's just like when I told my kids when they were riding tricycles and bicycles and everything, I kept telling them, don't ride out in the street. Don't ride out behind the car. People can't see you. Don't do that. It isn't because I hated them. It isn't because I didn't like them. It was because I didn't want them to get hurt. I didn't want something to happen to them. And that's why we teach. Our brother asked this morning, are we teaching our children? And I'd like to ask the mothers and fathers tonight, are we teaching our children? Are we teaching them those things? Are we doing like he says over there? Are we nurturing them up in the way of the Lord? Are we preparing them? Are we developing them where they will have a grip that can hold strong on the rod of iron and not be tore loose? Are we giving that strength? Are we given the eyesight to see that the way of eternal life and the way of joy, even in life here, is through Jesus Christ our Lord? If you're not obeying Him, those of us that are married here and those that are looking for marriage and everything, I'll tell you right now, if the Lord isn't the Lord of your house, you got problems. But if He's the Lord of your house, He's love. He's peace. He's forgiveness. He's gentle. He's kind. He's the things that makes you grow together as that one that He tells us in the scriptures. You become one. You become one in the Spirit. That's what it amounts to. That's what it amounts to. And so it's important that we know that these things are really sufficient. I want to go over to page 82 in the Book of Mormon. And there on page 82 in the Book of Mormon, that's going to be, that'll be the first Nephi, second Nephi, the first chapter and the 65th verse. 2 Nephi, First chapter. And I'm going to read the 65th through the 67th. Now I want you to listen closely. So you can't say I didn't know. And those of you that's got a Book of Mormon, I want you to read it with me. Because it's essential for you to know. 65th verse. For the Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Bingo. We're under the same law that they have been under all through the period of time. We don't change. Not even a shadow of changing, he tells us. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever, so you and I can find him. And so that you and I would know what's required of us, bar none. Bar none, so that we would know. Let's go 66 verse. And the way is prepared from the fall of man, and salvation is free. I want you to know that. You're given your own free agency. The right to choose or the right to follow Christ, or you have a right to deny Him. You have a right to reject Him. You have a right because He's given you that right. And it's up to you and it's up to me to decide who I want to follow and who I want to believe and how much I want to apply to my life. Or if I think just a little bit is sufficient. That's what it amounts to. It's important. Let's read the 67th verse. And men are instructed sufficiently. Does that mean he leaves something out? No. That men are instructed sufficiently that they know good from evil. Bingo. That he has sufficiently caused to be written those things so that we would know good from evil. That's why he's caused these things to be written. He's caused them to be written to teach us. That's why in the 20th chapter of Revelation, he says these books are going to be opened. He says, and you're going to be judged out of those things which are written in the books according to your works. Bingo. Then it means then that we better have an understanding what's in these books. So that we know what we have to apply to our life and we know what we're not to apply to our life. And I'm going to have to get into some of that this evening. I want to bring out the fact that we have a right to choose and we need to know that our children are taught the things of Christ. And you know, I'm going to have to bring some of that out this evening. My brother Jim read a scripture and our brother Adam, he talked about different things. It's very essential. And I want to go over to a scripture that people don't like. And they want to challenge it. They want to fight it. And they think that they want to do what they want to do. And sometimes they do. I'm going to 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, and the 9th verse. I've talked on this in time past, and it's been given to me to talk on it again tonight. And it's something that I want you sisters to pay close attention. It's the 9th verse. He says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves with modest apparel. Now, I wonder if this was part of that was written by the inspiration of God, or just we want to do something else? Or is that something we want to throw under the table? You mothers that are responsible for teaching your daughters that's not of age, when they go down to buy their dresses and things, how are you directing them? Are you directing them in this manner? Or are you saying, oh, that's that old Apostle Paul talking. He didn't know what he was talking about. I'm just afraid that he did. And I'm going to verify that this evening. He says that they adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, and sobriety, not with braided hair of gold or pearls or costly array. You know, I don't have time to get into that this evening because my time's going to go. But you know, the Book of Mormon tells you that you don't wear that stuff. You know why? He says it has no life. And he says, and you don't pay any attention, he says, to those, he says, to the hungry and the needy and the naked and the poor. But you're worried about how you look. You think that's important to Christ, to how you look to enter in the kingdom of heaven? Do you think it's important whether he thinks you got $20 in your pocket or only 10 cents? Isn't it the scripture that says that the life for eternal life is given freely? I want us to think about that for a minute. You know, there's an odd thing, and I know one of the first things that comes up, you know, it says modest apparel. And so somebody say, well, who is it that says this modest apparel? Well, I'm going to read it to you. Did you young ladies and do you sisters know that in England, the woman that started mini skirts made the statement that this is for a woman that wanted to seduce a man? Do you sisters want to seduce a man? Do you think that's the law of God? Did you know that when women began to wear mini skirts, that year forcible rape jumped up 96%? You think they call that modest? I want you to think about what you're thinking and what you're doing and what you think, oh, this will be all right. I'll just set this aside and everything will be fine. And you know what? He'll just turn his head and no. You're asking for problems when you're wearing that kind of gowns. When you're wearing those things, because he expects you not to wear that stuff. He tells you that you're supposed to be clean and nice and gentle. There's other scriptures. Peter tells you about it. You know, Titus tells you about it. He tells you about those things, how important it is. That you're not flaunting yourself around. And you can do the same thing, you know. You can do the same thing by wearing real tight jeans or real tight stuff that you just almost wasn't wearing anything. You have to make up your mind whether you think that you're supposed to have modest apparel like God said, if you're going to do what you think you want to do. And if you think you're going to do what you want to do, then you better know you're going to pay the price for it. And it doesn't make any difference what you say or anything else. You're going to pay the price for it because God knows. And he knows the desires of your heart. He knows those things and he knows what you're doing. You're flaunting yourself out. And you know your pastor told you Wednesday night that men can do the same thing. They buy T-shirts and women buy T-shirts that has foul sayings on them and wear them. Do you think that's right with Christ? If you walked up to Christ with that foul T-shirt on, what do you think he'd tell you? Or they cut their pants off up to their pockets so when they sit down they expose themselves. that there is a reason that God causes the Scriptures to be written to edify us and to teach us, so that we wouldn't get ourselves in trouble. That's what 96% of the women across the world got into when they started wearing miniskirts. Think about that. Is it so important to wear something that you're exposing yourself when you sit down or you stand up or you're sitting there? Is that important? You think that's more important than the way to eternal life and to have the Lord say, "Come in, you faithful servant"? It's important that we remember these things. My brother touched this morning. He touched on our action and stuff as we come inside of this house. We don't reverence this house. We come in this house and our kids run through it. Our kids holler and yell. Our grown-ups are talking. Boy, you can't hear yourself think. And isn't it the Scripture that says that this house is to be a house of prayer? Did you ever try to get your mind on the prayer to visit with God and have everything going all over and everybody hollering and yelling and you got to look out, the kids are going to run over you, and sometimes when you're there getting coffee and it's hot, the kids are running through the chow line and they're hitting you and you're trying to keep from burning them, and you know, we need to teach our children to respect this house. That's what's important. That they learn that when they come into this house, they come in here to meet with God. And they should do like we were heard this morning. They should prepare themselves that when they come in, they're satisfied. If they got something they think so important to tell somebody, they can whisper. And so the sister that goes up and plays the piano to try to cool things down, they don't out-talk the piano, they don't out-talk everything. There's a noise and a humdrum going on, and that's in the house of the Lord. That's in the house that He says is the house of prayer. That's what it's about. And brothers and sisters, you know, when I'm sitting up front, I see it. When I'm sitting back there, I see it. You recognize the fact that we don't reverence this house. And we, when we kneel in a season of prayer, people are talking and visiting back and forth. And what do you think that the Lord thinks about that kneeling in prayer and you're talking and visiting? Ha, ha, ha. Do you think He enjoys that? Or when somebody comes up front to be administered to and people are talking and the kids are yelling, you know, do you know that there is a responsibility, and Adam brought it out this morning. There's a responsibility, and you and I are responsible for how we treat this house, how we treat this. When we built it, when we left Harvard and we built this house to be reverenced. We built this house to meet and to invite God to come and to direct us and to lead us. That's why we built it. And that's why when we kneel in a season of prayer, we should be serious about what we're doing, because you're talking to God. It's not a day to visit. It's not the time to laugh. It's not the time to do everything else. It's the time to put your mind on God. That's the time. It's a serious time. You know, when I was called to be in the office of an elder, the first time I was moved upon by the power of God to stand and to speak, boy, I was new and I was scared to death. And I picked up Patricia and I set her on my lap and I thought, well, you know, that'll hold things down. I won't have to stand up now, but it didn't do the job. And finally, I set her on the floor. When I stood, I was talking before I could stop. I couldn't shut it off. And He was telling us, He says, "Have I not blessed you daily? But you kneel in prayer and I hear not your voice." Shame on us. Is that important? You bet. What if you bring some friends with you? And you say, come on in, come on in. We're having a prayer service. And so you kneel in a season of prayer and they don't hear any prayers. What do you think they're going to think about this church when they leave here? Yeah, I went down there at that Church of Christ and they knelt in a season of prayer and nobody prayed. We have a responsibility. And our responsibility is to weed out the problems that we have. That's our responsibility. It's your responsibility, sisters, to decide what you want to wear. To how you want to flaunt yourself around. Or your men. It's your responsibility, young people, Gage. It's your responsibility to know that you're not to run through the chapel. That you're not to do those things. That you're not for playing games and you're not a wrestling in here. This isn't a house of wrestle. This is a house of prayer. That's what we're to do in this house. We're to come in prepared that we have sent an invitation for the Lord to come and meet with us and strengthen us in our weaknesses and help us to overcome. That's why we've come here. That's why you've come here this evening. It's important that we know that we need to come and we need to go and we need to come and we need to follow Him. We need to send our invitation to Him. We need to do those things so that we'll know. And it's so important. And remember what the Book of Mormon says? Book of Mormon says that there is a day and a week. You know, our brother talked about Sabbath day this morning. Book of Mormon says that there's a day and a week that's set aside for you to come and worship. There's a day and a week that the ministry is to set aside and go to proclaim the law. A day. And then he said, and his office within your power, you're to do that. Well, we come Wednesdays. They meet Saturdays. We meet different times. He said, because he knew that you and I needed to have that spirit to be with us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to keep us alert and awake of our responsibilities. And you all have responsibilities, every one of us. He tells us that we're to have a light for Christ, and we're to have a light that will glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's not just the ministry. No. It's for all of us. That we're to walk in a way that we will tend. And remember what the Apostle Paul wrote? He says that that it's important that we realize that if we violate that law, we violate it before the people that needs it. That it's important that we know if we're violating the law, that we're violating before someone that needs the law. But if we're violating it, they're not going to be in a hurry to catch it. If they think you and I aren't interested enough in it, they're not interested either. Well, let's go party. You know, I've been reading a book. It's by a minister that was in Canada. And he lived in the 1800s into the 1900s. And you know, he wrote of his experiences. And he had some mighty experiences. Because he had what our brother preached on today, he had faith, he believed. And he believed that God heard prayers, bar none. And they would come and get him because the people, they knew that he believed. And they knew when he got there and he prayed for them that they would be healed. All kinds of healings. Of all kinds of sickness. And he was preaching up in Canada, and there was a sister came to it, and she was possessed with Satan. And she was shaking all over the floor, and she was frothing at the mouth and everything. And he went forth, and he rebuked that spirit and told it to leave. And it did. And he told that sister, if you will continue walking in the commandments of God, that evil spirit will not return. And so for a while she walked in the way that she was supposed to, and then she started going where she didn't supposed to. He says she started going to the dances. And after a short length of time, that evil spirit came worse, or more of them, like the scriptures say. And they had to call for the elders, and the elders came forth again. And they came and they rebuked that spirit, and the elder then told her, you stay away from the dances, you stay away from those things, or this spirit will come back. You know, she stayed away from the dances, and she lived to be an old lady, and she never had those spirits come back again. And the moral of that story is that if we endeavor to live the gospel of Christ, live the things that Christ taught us to do and not to do, we're blessed. Does that mean you'll never have any problems? No, that's not what it means. But it means that you have been living a life that you know where to take those problems to. You take them to the Lord. That's when you exercise your faith. That's when you prepare yourself. Because he has that power. My brother Jim and I, when we were working together, they sent us up to the hospital for a sister up there and said, well, she was sick and the doctor said they didn't know what to do with her and everything. And when we walked in her room, we both knew that she was possessed. You could feel it. The hair just stand up on your back. And we rebuked that spirit and it was gone. She was ready to get up and go home. Then she didn't know anything about the gospel and she was mad because the doctor told her she was really sick and my goodness, she wasn't sick anymore. She couldn't figure out why the doctor told her that. But these are things that sometimes we miss because we don't apply the gospel of Christ to our life. We're too busy deciding what we want to do instead of what the Lord would have us do. That's what happens. We decide, no, we want to do that, or yes, I want to wear that, or I wanted this, or I wanted that. It's a constant thing. Or I'm young, you know, and I don't want to listen to the sermons. You know, I got things I want to do. I go to sleep or I play and I wanted this and I wanted that. Did you know that those things can, you know, I've thought about that a lot of times. And I thought about when Christ was up on the mount and he was preaching. And the multitude was going with him. I wonder if those young people, now, I'm talking to a son that's old enough to understand. I wonder if they just played and just hooray for our side or if they wanted to hear what the Lord had to say. I just wonder. But I'll tell you what. It's like everything else, you know. If you're hungry, open up your mouth and be fed. If you're hungry, if you've been listening to the sermons of your servants in the last few months, you'll be hearing where they have been putting their finger on the needs that we need to do to prepare ourselves for the things that are coming. That we have a greater voice that says, Lord, come into our midst and direct those instead of talking and whispering and laughing or got those little things where they play games on it and go through all that kind of stuff. Who do you think you're fooling? If the Lord was to come and stand before you and you was in the prayer service and you was playing that game, how would you feel? How would you feel? Don't tell me you wouldn't feel ashamed. Because we certainly would. And so he's given us our own free agency. And like our brother said this morning, he's not going to twist your arm. He's not going to drag you by the hair of the head. But it's up to you and I to cure the problems that sometimes withhold that spirit to where he don't come and sup with us as he should. Where we hold it off. We keep it back. We got other things to do. When we meet here, we got 100 things to say. If we're going to talk about hunting and fishing, if you're going to talk about something else, do it outside. You don't have to do it here in the chapel. You don't have to do it in here. You can reverence this place. Because this is the place where you come to meet Christ. This is the place where you come to speak to God. And he's not worried about hunting and fishing. No. He's not worrying about mechanics. He's not worried about being a fireman or policeman. He's worried about the welfare of our soul. That's what he's worried about. He's worried about the welfare of our soul. And he's worried. Haven't they read that? How many times in the scriptures that we did things and people did back there and the Lord says, haven't you read the scriptures? Which say? Yeah, he just puts the dead on the line, don't he? Haven't you read the scriptures? That's our need. To read them and to obey them. Because if we aren't obeying them, we're fooling ourselves. That's what it amounts to. We're fooling ourselves. And so, you know, brothers and sisters, I would have rather had to talk on something else this evening. But this come to me months ago. I've been setting it off and setting it off, and then I see that my brothers began to bring it out. And indeed, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, all his words will be established. I asked the Lord if I could change it. He wouldn't let me. He wouldn't let me. Because it needed to be taught. It needed to be brought forth this evening that we need to pay attention. We need to reverence this house. We need to know when we kneel in the word of prayer, it's not a time to open up a conversation unless you want to visit with the Lord. You can have that conversation. It's not a time to be pushing and pulling. It's a time to know that somebody's putting out their heart and visiting to the Lord, or when somebody's being administered to. If you were being administered to and you was really sick and you knelt and they started to administer to you and the people in there laughing, and would you like that? Or would you rather have them ask the Lord to bless his servants and bless them? That the healing spirit would be poured out upon them. I think that would be the best, without a shadow of a doubt. And so I would like to ask you this evening, I'd like to ask you this evening, to do as the brother said this morning. Prepare yourself before you come into his house. Come in quietly. If you have something that you have to talk about, whisper very quietly. But have it to be something on the Lord, because if you're talking about something down across the street and the flower grew up, then you're not thinking on the Lord. When you kneel down, if you're playing with those little things that has all kinds of stuff on them, you're not thinking about the Lord. If you kneel down and you're visiting one with another and giggling and laughing, you're not thinking on the Lord. And you know, you're really blessed. Well, I think. You know, in the yesterdays, your apostles and brothers that came through, if you were talking back there, he'd stop and ask you, call you by name and say, do you have something to tell the people? It's, oh, no, no. Well, then you be quiet. I do. So they started passing notes. And so they walked down and got the notes and brought them up to the podium and read them. That when you come here to learn of the Lord. You come here to strengthen one another. You come here to do those things. You don't come here for a party. And this isn't a gymnasium. Those things are done out there where the swings and stuff are, out in the yard, not in here. This isn't the place to holler and yell. This isn't the place to run up and down the hall. This is a place to reverence, because this place that you see these four walls here, it's known as the house of prayer. That's what it's to be called, a house of prayer. And when we really get it that way, that faith will grow. And you can command a mountain to flee. But that's our responsibility. That's yours, that's mine. Is to prepare ourselves to come and to use this house for which it was built. And that was to come and to worship God. That was come to call upon Him and beseech Him in the name of Jesus Christ to direct us and to lead us and to bring the truth to our hearts and minds and allow the Holy Spirit to work. And He tells us when we do those things, we'll have that faith. We'll have discernment. We'll have the wisdom. We'll have the things that He says is the Spirit of God. The gifts shall be prevalent. That's what it takes. And it's up to you and I to what we're going to have here. It's up to you and I to how we invite His Spirit to come in our midst. That's important. And it's important for us to think about the Scriptures, because if we say, Lord, come in our midst and direct us, but I'm not going to follow that Scripture. I don't like that one. You've already lost. Because those were given by the inspiration of God for our doctrine, for our understanding, and for our way. That's what they were given for. And we better remember it. I'm going to read over in Ecclesiastes, in closing, I'm going to read in the 12th verse, 12th chapter, excuse me. I'm going to read the 13th and the 14th verse. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. When you're studying the scriptures and he tells you this and don't do that and don't do this, you know, you better know that that's the whole duty of man, is to keep the commandments of God. Because that's what's going to judge us when we stand before the judgment bar of Christ. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Oh boy, kids, did you hear that? So when we kneel down and you're behind the seats there and one thing and another, remember, maybe your folks can't see you, but God does. He sees you. And he knows what you're doing. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Bingo. So as we come, I know that your hope and my hope is that the things that we judge into works will be for good and not for the evil. But I also know that there's been a whole lot of problems happened over the period of time because we wanted to choose the scriptures that we wanted to follow after and wanted to choose what we wanted to do and thought, well, it'll be all right. God won't need it. We'll just go ahead. Well, yeah, I know he don't want us to do that, but I'm going to do it anyway. Better look out. We got a lot of things coming on this earth, brothers and sisters. That's going to require, like the Book of Mormon, a people that is armed with righteousness. That's where it comes into your ballpark and mine. Because we make the decision whether we're righteous or whether we're unrighteous. We're making that decision. And so, let's keep in mind that those things was written, and they were written by the power of God as he caused holy men to pen. And those things that are written in these two books that you see here, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, they're going to judge you. That's what he says. These books are open and another book is open, which is the book of life. And you're going to be judged out of those things which are written in those books right there. According to your works. Whether you have decided to obey them or not to obey them. That's up to us.